Welcome to our weekly broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our series called Hard Questions, Solid Answers. This is a series of questions you have asked Pastor Dave throughout his years of ministry. So let's listen in now as Pastor Dave answers this hard question with a solid answer.
Let the beauty where you stand.
And each one of these feasts is part of a whole, and together they tell a story. And if you were to move any one of these feasts around, if Passover was going to be the fourth feast and Tabernacles was going to be the first feast, it wouldn't tell the story that it tells. It would actually be nonsensical. So, it says, speak to the children of Israel, say to them, the feasts are the Lord. And so, it'll be a holy convocation. Convocation means assemblies. This is a time of meeting between God and His people for holy purposes. There's seven feasts, and with them they carry a great message. And so we were able to go over last week the Feast of Passover that spoke about the death of Jesus Christ. We were able to see the Feast of Unleavened Bread speak of the burial of Jesus Christ. We were able to see the Feast of First Fruits that speak of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to go over the Feast of Weeks that speaks of the birth of the church. It speaks of the Holy Spirit coming upon God's people in order to bring about the kingdom of God. And then we're going to see next week, Lord willing, we're going to see the Feast of Trumpets that I believe speaks of the rapture of the church. And then the Day of Atonement that speaks about the judgment upon the earth. And then the Feast of Tabernacles speaking of the second coming of Jesus Christ here on the earth. And so we see that the first three feasts are actually in the past. They've been fulfilled. The fourth feast, the Feast of Weeks, as we're going to go over here tonight, is actually ongoing. It is happening today. It is currently upon us. And then the three feasts in the future are yet unfulfilled. And that, I do believe, speaks of the future of God's timetable of what He has. And so, Frank, if you can throw up that slide there so we can kind of see a little bit, and just leave it up for the rest of the time there. But as you can see, oh man, I didn't bring the pointer. I left it up in my office. I love that thing. Anyway, you have Pesach there, Passover. It speaks of unleavened bread as well and first fruits. And then we have the Shavuot that we're going over is the Feast of Weeks that we are currently in today. And then you have a 4 months harvest period, which is happening today. Then you have Rosh Hashanah, the trumpets. Then you have Yom Kippur and Sukkoth, and you can see that those are all future. And we'll be going over those verses there as we get into the fall feasts. So the spring feasts have been fulfilled. The summer months is where we are today. That's where the church is today as we are trying, as the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so this is the time period that we are today. So you can look at that whenever he's going to keep it up the rest of the time. In Colossians 2:16 and 17, and this needs to be brought up time and time again. Thank you. I can now play around with stuff. I can blind you guys. No, I'm going to do that. But I love that this is the time period that we're in right here. Okay? This is what we're going to go over here tonight. But this is where we are today. And these are the ones that we have to look forward to. And I do believe it speaks of Jacob's trouble there, the Day of Atonement, that Christ's reign is going to come. Feast of Tabernacles speaks of a second coming. And so it lines up with the premillennial position, just so you know. Okay? And I think that this is huge. Again, I would never use a typology in order to build a doctrine, but if there's a doctrine there, and then we have typology that backs it up, I think that that just gives so much credibility to that doctrine. So much credibility. And so we are going to go over Shavuot right now. In Colossians 2:16 and 17, Paul says this. Remember, Paul's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. There's nobody who understands the Bible or the Old Testament better than Paul, okay? He's a Pharisee. He was born of the tribe of Benjamin. He calls himself a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Nobody was more zealous for God than Paul says. And Paul tells us this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. That new moon is really huge when it comes to the Day of Atonement that we will get to hopefully next week. Just throwing that out there. It's really cool how I'll be able to tie that together, but not for tonight. It's just a little taste to keep you coming back. Let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ. And those festivals that's being spoken of are the feasts that we're going over. Every feast speaks of the person of Jesus Christ and what he is doing in the world. And so we see that. We've seen that in the first three feasts, and we're going to see that again today, and we'll see it in the future Wednesdays coming up. Tonight, we're going to look at verses 15 on. And so let's just kind of start there. Actually, we're gonna go from the Feast of First Fruits in verse 9. There's a reason for my madness here. The Feast of First Fruits. So it says here in verse 9, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, reap its harvest, and you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest." Okay? "You shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. You shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour, mixed with oil, offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma. Its drink offering shall be a wine of 1/4 of hin." A grain offering, according to Leviticus chapter 6. Where are you? Here it is. If you read verses 14 on, and I'm going to read that right now, Leviticus chapter 6, this is the grain offering. This is the law of the grain offering. "The sons of Aaron shall offer it on the altar before the Lord. He shall take from it a handful of fine flour of grain offering," fine flour, "with its oil, frankincense, which is on the grain offering, shall burn it on the altar for sweet aroma." So this grain offering is to be burnt upon the altar as a memorial to the Lord, and the remainder of it, Aaron and his sons shall eat it with unleavened bread. So this grain offering is unleavened, okay? So grain offerings are unleavened. And look what it says. "It shall be eaten in a holy place in the court of the tabernacle meeting. They shall eat it. It shall not be baked with leaven." Okay, so the grain offering is not baked with leaven. So going back here to Leviticus 23, the first fruits that spoke of the person of Jesus Christ that we mentioned last week is this grain offering of barley grain, and then they're going to make this grain offering to the Lord from the barley that is taken, and they're not going to add any leaven to it. And as we went over last week, leaven represents sin. Okay, so this is a sinless grain offering. Who do you think that speaks of? Jesus. Okay? It speaks of Jesus. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we're going to go into another grain offering here, and this one has leaven. And the question is why? The question is why? So, going here to verse 15. "And you should count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath." So, the day after the Sabbath of the Feast of First Fruits is when you begin here the Feast of Weeks. It's known as Shavat. Shavat is the Hebrew word for weeks. We know it in the Greek as Pentecost, because penta means 50, okay? So it says here in verse 15, "And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering from the Feast of First Fruits. 7 Sabbaths shall be completed." 7 times 7 is what? 49. So now you have 49 days here. And then the next verse says, "Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath." So you count all the way to the 7th Sabbath. You add one more day because you need a day after the Sabbath. Hence, you got 50. Hence where we get the Greek word Pentecost from. And so it says, "Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall offer," what does it say there? "A new grain offering." Because you already had a grain offering with the Feast of First Fruits. That comes from the barley. This is a new grain offering that comes from the wheat. Okay? It comes from the wheat. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. Okay? And you shall offer with the bread 7 lamb of the first year without blemish, 1 young bull, 2 rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord. Their grain offering and drink offerings is an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. So this is going to be by fire. So with their grain offering in verse 18, that's going to be a different grain offering than the one that is going to be brought in verse 17, okay? Because this one is going to be offered on the altar. So, then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of goats as a sin offering, 2 male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. Just so you know, you always have the sin offering before you have the peace offering, okay? The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. So, with the bread of the first fruits is being spoken of in verse 17. It's a wave offering along with 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the same day that is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And then we have a very weird verse here in verse 22 that has absolutely nothing to do with the Feast of Weeks. And it just kind of comes out of nowhere before you get into the other feasts from verse 23 on. And so in verse 22, it says, "And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God." And it's kind of like, okay, we are going through the feasts and the festivals and how we're supposed to celebrate and how to worship you. And then you throw in there just another little verse that talks about how we're supposed to glean our fields. What does that have to do with the celebration, the feast? Well, you're going to see here in a moment. So, Shavuot means weeks. This Feast of Weeks is also called by other things in the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 16, the Feast of Weeks is also called the first fruits of your labors. Exodus 23:16 says, "And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors which you have sown in the field." Secondly, it's also called the wheat of harvest. In Exodus 34:22 it says, "And you shall observe the feast of weeks of the first fruits of wheat harvest." So that right there tells us that the feast of weeks is the wheat harvest, whereas the feast of first fruits is the barley harvest. One is the harvest that is planted in the winter that comes to where you harvest it in the spring. The other one is planted in the spring, and it comes to fruition in the summer months, okay? It comes to harvest in the summer months. And so the Feast of Weeks is the first fruits of the wheat harvest. Thirdly, it's called the Feast of Weeks, Numbers 28-26. You'll notice that in Leviticus, you don't read anywhere where it's called the Feast of Weeks. Okay, it just says that from 49 days and add a date on that 50th day, you're going to celebrate this, but it doesn't actually say that it's the Feast of Weeks is what it's called. But in Numbers 28:26, it says, "Also on the day of first fruits, when you bring a new grain offering to the Lord," so we know it's speaking of that, "to the Lord at your Feast of Weeks," it says in Numbers 28:26. So we know that this is called Feast of Weeks. And then in Deuteronomy 16:9-12, we're told that this is something that we celebrate. We rejoice in the Lord. It says, "Then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with a tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God." So this is a time of celebration. "You and your son and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger." Understand, whenever you read, "and the stranger among you," the word "stranger" there would always mean every single time Gentile, okay? Because the only one that isn't a stranger with you would be a fellow Jew. So that always would mean Gentile. "And you will do this at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide." So wherever the tabernacle was put, this is where you celebrate this. And then later on, it was taken to Jerusalem. So this is why you go to Jerusalem to participate in this feast. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt. You shall be careful to observe these statutes. So, we see different names. We understand that this is a new grain offering from the wheat offering. We also know that that in the New Testament that it's spoken of as Pentecost. It's mentioned three times in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all at one accord in one place. And we'll be going over this in the book of Acts here in a few weeks. We know that Paul describes a desire to be in Jerusalem to observe this feast in Acts 20, verse 16, when it says, "For he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost." 1 Corinthians 16:8, "But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost." And so there's three mentions of this feast in the New Testament. We also know that this term Feast of Weeks or Pentecost is also known to the Jew by other names. It's also known as the Feast of the Harvest because it marks the end of the spring harvest. We also know it's called the Day of First Fruits as opposed to the Feast of First Fruits. And the reason why it's called the Day of First Fruits is that the first fruits of the summer harvest are offered on this occasion. Well, this festival of first fruits is in the spring harvest. It's also called the closing festival or the closing season of Passover because it's the last feast that you have that closes out all the spring feasts. And then you have four long summer months. It's also called the season of the giving of the law because Jewish tradition has that the Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law was given on this occasion. And that is very interesting, as we'll see here in a moment. And of course, we know it as the Feast of Pentecost because we take it from the Greek name. Again, we went over that, means 50. And so as we look at this, we're going to find out some pretty interesting things here. There's a Jewish observance on this day that they read the book of Ruth because this story of Ruth takes place during this time of the harvest, the summer harvest, which is fascinating, as we'll get to in a moment. They also read the book of Ruth because another Jewish tradition has that King David, a descendant of Ruth, was born during the Feast of Weeks, is what they believe. So, I want to look at a couple things here. For one, I want to look at these two loaves here when it comes to the Feast of Weeks. It tells us in verse 17, you shall bring, well, verse 16, it says, "Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord." So this is a new grain offering. It happens the day after the Sabbath, which is a Sunday. You have the old offering also done the day after the Sabbath, the Feast of First Fruits. So that first grain offering of the barley takes place on a Sunday. This new grain offering also takes place on a Sunday, the day after the Sabbath, which I find very interesting. And then it says, "You shall bring from your dwelling two wave loaves of two tenths, an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven." And they are the first fruits to the Lord. So, we see the beginning of the grain harvest that it talks about in Leviticus 23:13. We see this grain harvest, this barley harvest that is waved before the Lord, and it does not have leaven in it. And so we know that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then 50 days later, at the close of the barley harvest, two loaves are now baked from the new wheat harvest, and they're offered as a sacrifice. And yet this does have leaven in it. So, and we see that in verse 16, this is new grain offering. And so you have the Feast of the First Grain Offering and the Feast of First Fruits. 50 days later, you have another grain offering. This is of a different crop. The first one was from the barley crop. This one's from the wheat crop. The barley was a lesser grain and not as valuable as a crop. Wheat was a greater grain and from a greater crop. And so on this Shavuot, this Pentecost, we have here this grain offering that's being given that has leaven in it. Now, We're also told this is followed by a meal or grain offering, drink offering, then the sin offering of one lamb and the peace offering of fellowship. Again, I mentioned to you, notice that there's a sin offering and then there's a peace offering. The peace offering spoke of fellowship, okay? So until the sin is taken away, you cannot have fellowship with God. You can't have fellowship with God. And so this peace offering means that it's between you and God. You now have peace with God, that there's fellowship that can take place with God. And remember, this peace or fellowship offering is not placed on the altar, okay? This is also an offering that's not placed on the altar. It's been given to the priest. It should be placed on the altar before the loaves were baked with leaven. And again, we mentioned that leaven always represents sin in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 5:6, Paul says, don't you know a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And we went over this last week. In Leviticus 2:11, again, it says, no grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. So whatever you're going to burn on the altar cannot have leaven, okay? But these two loaves that they're going to bring, that leaven, are going to be handed over to the priests. The priests are going to eat them. And guess what? They have leaven in them. They have leaven. What do the loaves represent if there's sin in them? I would submit to you, Jews and Gentiles, two groups of people. This is the new covenant that God's word talks about. This is the new covenant. For years, the prophets foretold a day of a new covenant, a covenant that would last forever, a covenant that God himself would write on the hearts of his people. In Jeremiah 31:31, it says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, and not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts. I will be their God, they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me. For the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. In Ezekiel chapter 11, God also, talking about this promise, says, therefore, says the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the Gentiles, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the people, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered. I will give you the land of Israel. They will go there. They will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. And they may walk my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. They shall be my people. I will be their God. Later on, Ezekiel 36, it says, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but my holy namesake. Always understand that God always comes from that motivation. You might not like it. You might not understand it. But I want you to understand something. God does things from the motivation of making his name great. And one of the reasons I mention that is because it takes away this weird Christian thought that we have that the whole world revolves around us. It's all about me. Oh, God died for my sins because that's how much he loves me. And it all becomes about me. Okay, it's not. God does it from the motivation. Does he love you? Absolutely. But understand what's higher than that is that he wants to make his name great. Okay, that's the motivation that God has in all that he does to make his name great. Wow, God sure is full of himself. It's almost like he's all that. He is all that. All right?
That's it for another edition of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. If you've missed any of these teachings and would like to catch up, you can download our free mobile app. It's a great way to take any of Pastor Dave's teachings with you wherever you go. All you have to do is go to the Apple App Store or Google Play and search for Calvary Castle Rock. Once you've installed the app, open it up and click on Teachings,
and then go to On the Radio. There you can listen to today's segment or any of the previous segments by broadcast date. You can also subscribe to our radio audio podcast. If you want to learn more about our ministry, please go to our website at calvarycr.com. That's calvarycr.com. As always, thanks again for listening in today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.